Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Tuesday, February 7, 2017. On ProWrestling.net today, we will have Raw viewership and ratings information, as well as live coverage of WWE SmackDown and 205 Live this evening. Coming up after the break for non-members, we will discuss what's in store on both of those shows and take a look at last night's WWE Raw. Before we dive in, just another reminder that ProWrestling.net Live returns on Monday. We will be going live each Monday following a WWE pay-per-view event. With the Elimination Chamber coming up on Sunday, we will be live on Monday at 3 Central, 4 Eastern Time at blogtalkradio.com/ProWrestlingDOTNET. Will Pruitt and I will be taking your calls on Monday afternoon, so we would love to hear from you. Please join us. As far as WWE SmackDown Live tonight, they are advertising John Cena against Randy Orton. What it appears to be a non-title match. They are kind of billing this as a potential WrestleMania preview. Of course, nothing says this won't be a WrestleMania match quite like giving it away on television less than 2 months before WrestleMania. That said, believe it or not, I'm kind of looking forward to it. These two have taken a lot of heat from me and many others for their feud just being so overexposed in the past. Feels like we've seen those matches a billion times. But Orton made a comment on Talking Smack about how he and John Cena believe the fans want to see their match again, even if they don't know they want to see it. Now, it's possible this is going to be more of an angle than a match, but you know, if WWE lets these two go and just kind of, they give them plenty of time, I think you're going to see two pretty motivated guys trying to silence some critics. And so that is what makes me kind of look forward to the match, just to see how if these guys just go above and beyond to kind of tell people or just show people that, hey, it's not as bad as you're making it out to be. Well, you know, look, here's what we can do. This is also the go-home edition for that Elimination Chamber event. I will be covering that live, beginning with the needlessly long one-hour kickoff show at 6 Central, 7 Eastern. WWE advertising 4 matches so far. We have the Chamber match, we have the women's title match, we have the tag team turmoil match, and we have Nikki Bella and Natalya. So it should be kind of a newsworthy edition of SmackDown, just in terms of announcing matches that will kind of fill up the rest of the card, including, I would assume they're going to have something on the kickoff show. A lot tougher for SmackDown to accomplish this. One of the reasons I thought 205 Live, when they were teasing the stipulation that it could be moving to Tuesday nights, is that, well, boy, SmackDown could use the help more than Raw. Raw has 3 hours to fill, but a much deeper roster. SmackDown only has 2 hours to fill, and they do an admirable job with it. But they have a tough time filling 3 hours of pay-per-view and the kickoff show, which is kind of the limited roster they have, especially when you look at this lineup, because, you have all those tag teams crammed into the turmoil match, and then you have the real headliners of the brand in the Elimination Chamber match for the championship, and so that it's going to be tough. They can give us Mickie James against Becky Lynch, Dolph Ziggler, I assume, against Apollo Crews, since he's been facing Kalisto on television, but I don't know what they have in mind there. So, I mean, they have some options, but not many. It's a little thin when you structure a card the way they do Elimination Chamber. Meanwhile, 205 Live tonight, I think, has its biggest match to date, at least the biggest main event of the show in its early run, admittedly. It's a five-way elimination match with Jack Gallagher, TJ Perkins, Cedric Alexander, Noam Dar, and Tony Nese fighting for a chance to get a shot at Neville's WWE Cruiserweight Championship at Fastlane. I like that it's an elimination match. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I say it's the biggest, not just because of the number of participants, because they probably had a six-man tag at some point, but because it feels important, more important than what we've seen with most of their 205 Live matches in the past. I think there's been a title match or two that felt bigger, but it's hard for me to sit back and really think back on anything that felt meaningful, in a major way. And this, it's not going to long term, but as far as they took the time to set this up on Raw. They dedicated some time to it. I like that. I also like that they didn't seem to foreshadow the outcome. I assume it's going to be one of the three baby faces, but they really didn't make it obvious. And so it'll be interesting to see this unfold. Noam Dar is the guy who seems to have the most issues with Neville right now, aside from Rich Swann. They did say that this match came about because of Swann's injury. So they're kind of making it seem like Swann would have been getting the title shot, but he is sidelined, and so they had to come up with this match to determine the new number one contender. Curious to see if we end up with Akira Tozawa on the show again. He made his debut on 205 Live last week and then was on Raw last night. So, I don't. The format should be a little different here with that main event. I mean, they could just try to sandwich all those eliminations into just the usual 10-15 minute slot. But hopefully, they're going to give these guys more time to kind of shake up the formula for the show. So, I'm not sure if we'll get a couple of brief matches or if they'll just go with the one match leading into the elimination match. But I'm looking forward to it. Again, join me for live coverage tonight after SmackDown at ProWrestling.net. Hey, .NET members are listening to my 55-minute audio review of last night's WWE Raw Plus, the 57-minute edition of the Q&A audio show. As always, I answer their pro wrestling questions to start, and we have some fun with the non-wrestling questions on the back end of things. The members will hear .NET Weekly coming up later this week. They will also hear Jake Barnett and I get together on Sunday night to discuss the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. If you are interested in membership, visit the main page of ProWrestling.net. Click on the sign-up area. Once you're in there, you're going to find three different pricing options. $750 gets you in the door for a month. You want to save some coin? There's a six-month option, and then there's the annual option. That annual option is the best deal of all. It brings the price down to an average of $5.50 per month. You have any questions? Hit me up on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet or shoot me an email at dotnetjason@gmail.com. And once again, thanks to the member. I'm sure you all hate him. That's why I don't say his name. That, and I can't find it in the email. If you're the person who pointed that out to me, and you want credit for that I could sing it that way, then feel free to email me. I think you know the email address. I'm quite confident you do. Just remind me it was you, and I'll be happy to give you credit for that. But if you would rather hide from that, I don't blame you. All right, let's get into my WWE Raw hit list as it appears on ProWrestling.net. Coming up after the hit list, I will get into some bonus thoughts on last night's Raw. We'll start with the hits as always. Samoa Joe's contract signing is our first hit. The announcement that this segment would open the show immediately made me look forward to Raw. Mick Foley's approach was an unexpected surprise. Foley did a nice job of expressing his disappointment with Stephanie McMahon and Samoa Joe with his intentionally flat introduction. Joe looked like a star, and even like a hired gun as he headed out to the ring wearing his suit. The Roman Reigns confrontation was unexpected fun, and Reigns was believably intense while addressing Joe. A strong segment. Next is Goldberg, Kevin Owens, and Chris Jericho's segment. Jericho putting Tom Brady on the list was timely and good for a chuckle. Goldberg putting himself on the list was a great touch. If Jericho put Goldberg on the list, the fans would have cheered Jericho for doing so. Instead, Goldberg flipped the script and got the big pop for writing his own name on the list. Jericho getting upset and accepting Goldberg's challenge on behalf of Owens was kind of fun. There's really no reason why Kevin Owens would actually have to follow through with that since he didn't agree to the match, but I doubt that most of the viewers are even concerned with that. Overall, this was just a nice mix of Owens and Jericho's comedy combined with really good use of Goldberg in terms of making his appearances brief yet impactful. The next hit is Samoa Joe against Roman Reigns, the main event of the show. WWE definitely rushed into this, but it was a hell of a hook given at the top of the show, and it paid off well in the final segment. Now, Joe appearing to be on the verge of being speared and pinned was the big negative for me. Joe's a killer. He should not be made to look that vulnerable during his first match, even though he did get the win thanks to Braun Strowman getting involved. All in all, though, a good night for Joe. The next hit is Nia Jax against Bayley. A solid match with Jax looking dominant while Bayley looked scrappy. This wasn't a match that Jax should lose, and Bayley had to be protected going into her title match next week, thus using Charlotte to provide the distraction that led to Jax getting the win was nicely done. In retrospect, the finish of this match and the main event were a little too similar. The next hit is Braun Strowman's handicap squash match. It's been so fun to see the carnage of monster squashes return to WWE television. As a kid, I looked forward to watching Hawk and Animal destroy some hapless tag team on AWA television, and Strowman brought back some memories by manhandling his four opponents. Right, excluding the one who ran off. I never thought Strowman was going to amount to much when he was with the Wyatt family, but his new look combined with some good booking and good work on his part has won me over quickly. Our next hit is Chris Jericho against Sami Zayn for the U.S. Championship, and it's just a minor hit. It was good from a match quality standpoint, but WWE should have been able to get more out of this after having Zayn pin Jericho last week. This could have been heavily promoted as one of the bigger matches on this or even a future show. Instead, it wasn't designed to be anything memorable. In fact, I came away from this wondering if they opted to wrap up this program in a hurry because they intend to have Zayn play the fall guy for Samoa Joe at Elimination Chamber. The idea, just kind of get him away from Jericho and kind of free him up, essentially. The next hit is TJ Perkins, Jack Gallagher, and Cedric Alexander against Tony Nese, Noam Dar, and Neville. This was the best week for the Cruiserweights on Raw. Granted, that's not saying much, but I like the way they took the time to set up that five-way elimination match for 205 Live, with the winner getting the title shot. And the match didn't seem to really foreshadow who that number one contender will be. Instead, it focused more on Neville once again walking out on Dar. And I'll just kind of add to it saying that, yeah, I mean, that could be foreshadowing that Dar is the opponent, but that'd be kind of odd. I just, now everything involving Noam Dar is kind of odd in a good way, but I don't know that you're going to get heel versus heel there. I think that might be a little bit much, so I don't think that foreshadowed it. All right, back to the hit list. Akira Tozawa against Drew Gulak is the final hit, and it's a minor one. WWE tried to make Tozawa's debut feel important by airing a video package and having the broadcast team play it up in a big way. The match was well executed, and Tozawa looked good. It was a solid introduction, but Tozawa didn't do anything so special that fans who were unfamiliar with him would be viewing him as the sensation that Michael Cole tried to make him out to be. Into the Raw misses, and just a couple of them this week. Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson against Sheamus and Cesaro for the Raw tag titles. I thought it was a flat tag title match and was clearly about setting up something with Enzo and Big Cass more than anything. Why can't creative just let Gallows, Anderson, Sheamus, and Cesaro work the type of physical matches we know they're capable of? It would be so much more effective than overbooking their matches with multiple referees, silly finishes, and now another tag team sitting at ringside for no real reason other than to set up that crappy finish. The final miss is Xavier Woods and Big E against the Shining Stars. There's no denying the live crowd loved New Day. Unfortunately, just Primo and Epico have been positioned as being such scrubs again, that I just impulsively check the time when I see them because a Raw immediately feels like a marathon. And now it's time for a few bonus thoughts on last night's Raw. This really may have been the first time I actually enjoyed the use of authority figures on Raw in since they reintroduced them, at least kind of the current two-person approach that they're taking. I mean, Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon have been fine on SmackDown, but on Raw, Stephanie oftentimes is just overbearing and obnoxious, and Foley, he yells a lot. I mean, he has his moments. I don't mind Mick Foley in this role, but in this case, I mean, Foley just made it no secret. He was disappointed in Stephanie McMahon and Samoa Joe. Maybe it's the passive-aggressive approach that appealed to me as a Minnesotan. We're kind of known for that. It didn't really steal the spotlight from Joe, though, and I think that was the important thing. They managed to tell the story with Foley effectively, and it just kind of helped his character be consistent. There's a lot of talk that Foley is going to end up undergoing hip surgery soon, so that might explain why his character's kind of standing up to Stephanie. Are they kind of setting it up so that he's going to be written off by her, at least temporarily? I would hope. I mean, it's going to take him some time to recover. I think an easy way to do that, if they want to bring Mick Foley back once he has a surgery, is simply to have Stephanie suspend him for a certain amount of time, however long they think it will take, just punish him that way, and then bring him back. Might be, a simple way to temporarily write him out rather than go through the hassle of firing him and then coming up with some way to, some convoluted way to bring him back. Even if wrestler wins a match and Mick Foley gets his job back, I don't want to see that. So if he has to take some time away, I mean, they can just acknowledge it if they want to. But if they're looking for kind of an out that puts a little heat on Stephanie, I think that's a way to do it. I like the Rock and Roll Express video package. I mentioned yesterday that I hadn't seen their names listed on many of the Hall. There's so many Hall of Fame lists floating around this year. There's so many people that are rumored to be inducted. But I actually had a couple people tell me that, yeah, they were out there on some lists. So I apologize for missing that. As I said yesterday, I think it's great that Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson are getting into the Hall. I think the ideal choice for their presenter, the person who's going to induct them, would be Jim Cornette. He was obviously their top rival, the never-ending feud between the Rock and Roll Express and the Midnight Express, Jim Cornette's Midnight Express, whichever version you want. And I'd like to see WWE do this because I think If they bring in Cornette to induct the Rock and Roll Express, I do think he would be highly respectful. I don't think he would want to rock the boat with, when he's there to present them. And I think it could be what they need to kind of break the ice as far as inducting Cornette and the Midnight Express, because that's an act that certainly belongs in the Hall of Fame as well. And so I really hope that happens, but I have no idea what they have in mind. I mentioned in members audio last night, I think it bears repeating that. I mean, I don't think this is a lot, but I was kind of looking at things and the way that Fastlane is set up. I could actually see Undertaker working a triple threat at WrestleMania, and I'm not saying it's what I want to see because I don't. But if Taker's physically limited, does it make sense to take that approach with him right now? I think we're all looking at Taker and Reigns at Mania, and that's probably the match. But I do find it interesting that Braun Strowman is facing Reigns at Fastlane, and he also doesn't have that obvious dance partner for WrestleMania. Could Strowman obviously could end up entering and winning the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. I think that's where most kind of fan predictions have Strowman at this point. But I still can't completely rule out the possibility of Reigns against Strowman against Taker, in part to really help Taker get through a match. He ends up getting to spend a little time selling, and he's not, you know, he's, it's not the, it's not as difficult as working a singles match. They can kind of mask any limitations he might have. I don't know if Taker's pride would go for it, but, just something to keep in mind. Again, I wouldn't say this is a, it's certainly nothing I've heard, and I wouldn't even like give it above a 50% chance of happening, but just kind of seeing the way things are laid out, it did make me wonder if that, I think it's worth mentioning at least as a possibility. Also, with Seth Rollins, I don't think we really learned anything about his injury last night. I mentioned this in audio last night too, but they said it's an MCL tear, and that sounds really bad. It's nowhere near as serious as an ACL tear. ACL tear is the one that puts you on the shelf for about a year. MCL tears, they're graded, and that kind of determines the length of recovery. Some of them, a grade one, I think, can be like a week even. A grade three is basically the most severe, and that one requires about 8 weeks of recovery time. And so if you kind of do the math, it's like, well, yeah, he could still do WrestleMania. And so I think they're going to play it up in a big way, unless there's more to this, unless there's more going on that, we're not, that, if they said MCL tear, if there's more to it than that, well, obviously he could miss WrestleMania. But if it really is as simple as an MCL tear, yeah, he's going to miss some time. If it's a grade three, he wouldn't be at Fastlane. And again, that's, maybe that's why they kind of just kind of raced through the Jericho and Sami Zayn thing, with the total speculation on my part is a Joe and Zayn match at Fastlane. But so if he's not at Fastlane, well, he still could make Mania. And so I think you'll hear the broadcast team kind of play it the way they did. They'll probably start laying it on thicker as they talk about him being highly unlikely for Mania, doubtful. You may even hear them come out and just say, yeah, it's not going to happen. And then surprise, it does happen. They can certainly build up to that moment. And so I would assume they're probably going to be pretty guarded with that information. I think if this were, ooh, he's going to miss, 6 months. If it was an ACL injury, I think they would have said by now. I think they would have just come out and said, he's going to miss WrestleMania. He's sidelined, and they would have had the full report and all of that. The fact that they're kind of being quiet about it tells me either A, they're not quite sure yet, or B, that yeah, they still think he can actually make his match with Triple H at WrestleMania, which would be great. Hey, finally today, please remember, subscribe to our daily podcast. Rate and review us on iTunes or anywhere else that allows such reviews. It's always appreciated. You are helping spread the word about this podcast and ProWrestling.net. Also, thanks to those who give a simple retweet when I put the link out there on Twitter. That is very helpful. Thanks to everybody who has helped out in some way when it comes to spreading the word about ProWrestling.net. And don't forget, follow me on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet. The Super Bowl is over, so I won't be bombarding you with any Super Bowl tweets now for, well, another year. And maybe I'll score tickets. It's here in Minneapolis next year. Yeah, I'm not holding my breath either. But hey, anybody out there? No, I'm not even going to. I'll end up watching that one from the comfort of my couch, just as I did this year. Got together with some friends beforehand. But yeah, I kind of like just being at home on the couch for it. I wouldn't pass up the offer to go to the Super Bowl, but I'm not holding my breath on that one. Anyway, big thanks again to everybody who has helped spread the word about the site and this podcast. And one last reminder, ProWrestling.net live on Monday at 3 Central, 4 Eastern time. Will Pruitt and I taking your phone calls, and ProWrestling.net live will be airing the Monday after each of the WWE pay-per-views. Until next time, everybody, thank you so much for listening. Take care.